My name is John Bolitsky.
And you are currently taking a cab from New York to L.A.?
Correct.
All right. Well, I guess let's start with why, and then we'll work from there.
Why? Well, you know, it was an idea that was interesting, and it seemed like something that would be a lot of fun, and also potentially difficult logistically to pull off. And all those things are pretty alluring to me. So I put the idea to my father, who was a former New York City cabbie, and he told me he didn't think I could pull it off. So I became really focused on pulling it off, and we did. We did it in short order as well.
So I guess walk me through. So where did you get the cab? When did you get the cab? How did that go?
We got the cab. We had two cabs. The first cab didn't work out. He couldn't get approval from his cab staff to get the deal done. So we had him basically drop us off at LaGuardia Airport. And when I got to LaGuardia, I told him I wanted to go to Los Angeles. He suggested I take a flight. I gladly declined. And Allah Muhammad just kind of stepped up, decided he would do it. So we are in a cab with him now.
And what day did you leave?
Saturday night. We left at about 11.
And what time do you think you're actually going to finish the journey?
About 400 miles outside of L.A. right now.
So maybe by
so
later.
So we'll get it done today. Wow. We'll get it done today. We became less focused on getting it done as this relationship with Alan, with the cab driver, kind of developed. And then it was, you know, really more about just kind of doing the thing, you know. And we went to Grand Canyon, which I'd never seen and Alan never saw, and that was inexplicably beautiful and mysterious and incredible. And when we get to L.A., I think Alan wants to go to Universal Studios and see some of those sites. And I think we're game.
So, you know, you're paying him $5,000, right?
Yep.
How does he get home? Or how do any of you get home?
I might have to fly out of the country when I get to L.A. Still kind of up in the air on what I'm going to do when I get to L.A. But Alam's friend from Queens, who's also a cab driver, flew out to L.A. to meet with him, to drive back with him on the road back.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, well, apparently the entire like Bangladeshi community is celebrating this, and they're really excited about it. So they're throwing him a huge homecoming when he gets back. They're throwing him a big party, and he's going to have sort of a hero's welcome when he gets back.
So what's been your favorite part so far?
What's been my favorite part? People's reactions as we move through the country. You know, you'll go inside to a gas station, and the place will just erupt when they see this cab. I'm like, there's just no way that's a New York City cab. Did that guy just drive you from New York? And that's been really the best part.
Do you have to watch those horrible taxi TV things the whole time?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's disabled. But yeah, thank you for riding with us. That's
yeah,
it.
It's just the same scene from 30 Rock over and over again for
the 30 Rock scene is not on rotation. It's a great show, though.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of speechless. I mean, I guess it's an idea, and you just kind of set out and did it. I mean, it was, how long did it take you to plan? I mean, it was just, you just kind of...
There was no planning. It was immediately, you take an idea, and you disassemble it, put it back together. You put together, you know, we do this in my office on a regular basis. You have an objective. It may be unorthodox, but you have an objective, and the question is, how do you get there? And it's typically not a straight line, and it generally requires some creativity, requires a lot of knowledge of subject matter. You know, in this case, you really kind of have to understand the structure of how cabbies work, to find the right guy to take you there. And having the experience of a father who was a cabbie, we kind of were able to make sense out of that. So, I mean, it was just a really kind of beautifully strange thing So we did it, you know. And I really don't think it's that crazy either. I mean, a lot of my clients and friends are calling me and sending me emails, and they're, you know, they think it's really insane, and I just don't, candidly. I mean, it's a week of my life. If I wanted to go on a vacation on a Carnival cruise ride, I'd be sitting on a ship in a floating prison, having no fun at all, probably spending similar money, you know. This, to me, is just much more interesting.
So we're not going to air this interview right before the Carnival Cruise Line commercial,
I guess. Sorry about killing your sponsors, man. So, let me do that again.
No, you know, it's fine.
Ferry, dude, it's terrible way to spend $5,000.
I'm kind of, you know, I get when you put it that way. I mean, it just sounds like, you know, you're taking a road trip, you know, yeah, with a new friend, and it is what it is, I guess, right?
It is what it is, but I mean, it is wonderful. It is, you know, it is beautiful in its own right because it's unorthodox and because it takes a very simple idea. You get in a cab, it takes you someplace, and you take it to an absurd level, and that's fun. That was what was so enticing about it.
How many cabbies said no before this one said yes?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
How many cabbies said no before this one said yes?
Oh no. No cabbie said no. No cabbie said no. When we go fishing, we pull fish out. The first cabbie said absolutely. He was all about it. His name was Elvis, Dominican guy. I picked him up on 23rd and 6th. And when we got to his cab stand, he wasn't able to do it because he didn't represent to us in the beginning of the deal that he didn't own the cab. So we were under the impression he owned the cab and leased the medallion, and that was our deal profile. We needed somebody who owned the cab and either leased the medallion or owned it, but they had to own the cab. Otherwise, it becomes cost prohibitive. There's too much risk in the deal, and there's another layer of management. And that's exactly what happened. We went to this guy's cab stand, and they're like, no way, we're not giving this cab.
I guess so. I mean, I you've been doing this since, I mean, I guess, like, I saw a story from, you know, a CBS station in Denver. So, I mean, it's kind of strange how sort of the coverage, you know, I mean, we're kind of your hometown here, and we're just hearing about it today. I guess, when you threw it together like that, there wasn't really a lot of time to let people know. It just sort of happened organically on the internet, which I guess is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, we were kind of tweeting it to our friends and, you know, just people that we know, because, you know, a lot of it too, I thought I was going to see people along the way and that'd be great, but really, you know, Dan and I, we have a kind of a close circle of friends, and in a weird way, it's sort of like a performance art project to them because they got such a kick out of hearing this. And so they start to tweet and they start to kind of share the idea. And by the time we got halfway across the country, people started, you know, talking about it. When we got to Omaha, we were on a radio show there because Dan had a lot of friends and family in Omaha, and they started talking about it. So we ended up on the radio there. And before you knew it, we were in Denver, and Denver loved it. They got a real kick out of it. And, you know, since Omaha, it's really been a huge amount of interest.
So, I mean, you guys, I was just reading your tweets a little bit. It's not like you're doing it for charity, but you did say, you know, do something nice for someone today, which is a nice message.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we don't have a philanthropic or entrepreneurial bent on this at all. This was something we did, you know, for us. But by all means, you know, if you see something in that and you'd like to leverage that for some reason, then I think you ought to and do so.
Yeah, you're like Forrest Gump running across the country over and over again for no reason.
How did you find out about it?
I saw it on Gothamist, which linked to a story from CBS News, which linked to a story from CBS Denver.
Got it.
Yeah, so that's how how the internet works these days. So I guess the last question then is, what's your dad say?
My dad thinks he's about to get proven wrong. But the last thing he said to me, which has really kind of got my goat right now, I said, look, I'm almost there. You were wrong. He said, let's see if you make it on TV when you get to LA. So tell me what talk show you're on, tell me. So it's kind of got me a little, it's got me spinning a little bit. Wouldn't mind finishing this off on a talk show.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's what dads do.
What's that?
I guess that's what dads do.
That's what dads do. They incite their sons to madness.
All right, dude. Well, good luck. Thanks for taking a few minutes, and enjoy the rest of the trip. And I guess enjoy the scenery on Route 66.
It is beautiful out here, bud.
Hey, do you guys have like a, like, what are you listening to music-wise? Because that seems like...
We haven't been listening to a lot of music, to be honest. We really haven't. But when we do, we watch the video clip that we shot of this rapper that I mentor in Chicago. And her name is Sam Scream. And she put a show on that we caught. We picked her up in Chicago, and we went down to the South Side to this place called Asylum. And she put a show on, which we videotaped, and it was so crazy that we just continuously watch it in the cab. She's a wonderful person. You should do a story with her. She's just incredible.
All right.
Her name is FM Supreme. Check her out.
I will do that. I will check it out. All right, dude. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.